Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Jesus said that I am the door, that he who enters by me will be saved. In Revelation chapter 4, it said, "After these things, I saw a door standing open in heaven." That door is Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the only way for man to be saved from their sin. Each and every one of us have sinned. The Bible tells us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glories of heaven. The Bible says that there is none righteous. No, that there's none that does good. In Ecclesiastes, it tells us that there's not a just man on the earth that does good and does not sin. All of us have sinned. See, the word sin, it's an archery term. And what they would do is they would give the archer 10 arrows. They would draw a circle on the wall, and the archer would shoot the 10 arrows at the circle. If 9 arrows went inside the circle, but 1 arrow went outside, it was called a sin. The word sin means to miss the mark. And that's why the Bible tells us that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. See, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. And Jesus Christ is the only way for us to be forgiven of our sins. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. See, some of us listening right now would say, you know, well, I'm a pretty good person. I haven't done anything that wrong. I've maybe raised my children. I've paid for them to go to college. I pay my bills on time. I've been faithful to my wife. But God has a different standard for heaven. And if we want to know exactly how we will do in that day, we need to look into the law of the Ten Commandments found in the book of Exodus. And as we honest with ourselves and we look into the law, we'll see exactly how we will do on that day. On that day, the Bible tells us that it's appointed once to man to die and then the judgment. The Bible tells us, O you young man, rejoice in the days of your youth and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. But know, for all this, God will bring you into judgment. In Revelation 20, it says, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open, and they were judged according to what was written in those books. And each person's name, not found written in another book, called the Lamb's Book of Life, was cast into the lake, burning with fire. You see, when we die, there's only two places that we go. One place is called heaven. The Apostle Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, was caught up into this place called heaven. He said he saw things and he heard things that were so incredible, it would have been a crime to write them down in the pages of Scripture. The human ear and the human eye were not able to withstand the beauties and the glory of heaven. When the prophet Isaiah said, when I saw King Uzziah die, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple with glory. Heaven is beautiful. It's described of a place where there's no more tears and there's no more sorrow. It's the dwelling place of God. The last thing Jesus did when he descended from the Mount of Olives into heaven, he told his disciples that in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. Oh, Jesus is preparing heaven for us. It's a beautiful place. See, that's one place we can go. But then there's another place. It's a place called hell. Jesus warned his disciples and his followers over and over and over about this place. He said it's a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He said it's a place of outer darkness. He said it's a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Where their agonies, the souls cry out day and night. In the book of Luke chapter 17, it says the souls were crying out, "Oh, Father, have mercy on us." This is a place of torment. It was not designed for mankind. It was designed for the devil and his angels. But God has no choice. The wages of sin, one sin, is death. Eternal separation from God into a place called hell. But God wishes that none would perish. When we look into the Ten Commandments, and we're honest with ourselves, because God's laws and God's morals do not change. In the book of Malachi, he says, "I am the Lord thy God, and I change not." His standard is once and for all, and it will be the final standard on that day when we all stand before God. The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When we look at the Ten Commandments, as the Ten Commandments, the law is a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. We look at the Ten Commandments and it says the law was written that every mouth will be stopped and the whole world will become guilty before God. We have all sinned. The first commandment is to love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy strength, and all thy soul. Have you done that? Have you loved the Lord God first in everything that you've done? I know I haven't. I know I've broken that commandment. The Bible says, thou shalt honor thy father and mother. Have you disrespected your parents? Maybe they told you not to hang around with a certain girl or a certain friend, but you said, no, they'll never know. I'm going to do it anyway. And you snuck out and you did it. Well, the Bible says that everything done in secret will be shouted from the housetop. The Bible says that everything done in the inner room will be brought out to light. There is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. It's all being recorded and written in that book for that day. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. Now maybe you were dishonest on your tax returns, or maybe on a job application, or maybe you downloaded some music on the internet. All of that stuff will be brought out. One sin is enough to separate you from God from all eternity. The Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. Are you lying? Are you maybe involved in a job where you have to be dishonest, but since everybody else is doing it, you think maybe you're okay? It's not okay. Sin is sin. And the wages of that sin is death. In the book of Isaiah, God says, is my hand short that I cannot touch you? No. Is my ear heavy that I can't hear you? No. He says, no, but your sins have separated you from me. The Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. But Jesus says that if we've looked with lust towards another person, that we've committed adultery in our heart. Man looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart. And there will be a day when God will judge the secrets of your heart. The Bible says, thou shalt not murder. But Jesus says that if we've gotten angry at our brother, that we've committed murder, because that's where murder starts, into the heart. The Bible tells us that the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? All of us have sinned against God. All of us. The Bible says, thou shalt not covet. Have you looked at someone else's wife, or looked at someone else's car, or looked at someone else's job, or someone else's house, and said, I would love to have that for myself? The Bible says, thou shalt not covet. Don't think that you can stand before God in your own righteousness. In the book of Isaiah, it says that our righteousness is like filthy rags. In the book of Titus, it tells us it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by what He has done. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, before He went to the cross, He prayed to the Father. He was in great agony because He knew He came to go to the cross, to die on the cross for the sins of the world. And when He was in that garden, before He went to Mount Calvary to die, He prayed to the Father and He said, "Father, is there any other way to get these people from the broad road to the narrow road? Let this cup pass before Me. Is there any other way to save mankind from their sin? Let this cup of suffering pass. Show Me the way." And God looked at him and said, "There is no other way. You are the way of the truth and the life, and no man can come to Me except through You." And He went to that cross. The Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And He went to that cross for you. He went to that cross. You are that pearl of great prize. You are that treasure in the field that He bought the whole field to get you. You're everything to Him. He created you in His own image for His glory, and He loves you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you want to be forgiven of your sin? Do you want to have everlasting life? Do you want to have that hope of eternity in the glories of heaven when you die? You can be forgiven today. The Bible tells us that God's Spirit will not always strive with man. But today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is promised to no man. If you will not harden your heart as in the day of rebellion, but if you'll open up your heart today and ask Jesus to come into your life and to forgive you of your sin, you can be assured that you'll have a whole new start and a promise of the glories of heaven. You see, the Bible tells us that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. We know that. We know that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse us from all sin. And we know that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that when He was buried into the grave and 3 days later He rose again, He conquered death for us. And He lives right now at the right hand of God to make intercession, and He's praying that you will accept this incredible gift. We know that. But see, that doesn't save you. The Bible tells us that we're saved by grace through faith that is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. It's a gift. It's already been paid for. The last thing Jesus said, one of the last things He said on the cross was, "It is finished." What is finished? It's paid for. The redemption of man has been paid for. It's finished. It's complete. You can't earn it. It's a gift. But if I go to hand you a gift, what do you need to do? What do you need to do if I'm handing you a gift? If somebody has a gift and he's handing it to you, what do you need to do? You need to receive it. You see, the Bible says, "To as many as receive Him, to them He gave the power to become children of God." He stands at the door and He's knocking and He's knocking and He's knocking. And the door handle's on the inside. He is not going to force Himself on you. He has done everything He can. He hung on the cross on a hot summer day in the middle of the heat for hours. The Bible says He was bruised for our iniquities. He was chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we were healed. The Bible says His visage was marred more than any man. He was mutilated and beaten on the cross for you. It's finished. If you'll open up your heart and receive that free gift of salvation, you can be saved. If you'll believe in your heart and you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse you from all sin. And you can come into that personal relationship with God the Father. Come to Jesus today. Come to the Father. He's calling for you. He loves you. He died for you. And as an ambassador of Christ, says, oh God, we're pleading through me to you to be reconciled. Please be reconciled to God. And it was God in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Oh, what a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing it is when man understands their need to be saved and they call on the only name, the name that is above all names, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that to the glory of God that he is King and he died for you. Call on his name today. Call on his name. He wants to give you a whole new start. It says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, all things pass away and all things become new. You can have a personal relationship with God, the creator of the universe, today. And as you come through Jesus, that door into heaven, and that door to the eternals, you come to Jesus, and you will have a whole new start. And you can have a personal relationship. The way you have that personal relationship is you read the Word of God. That's how he talks to you. And you pray. That's how you talk to him. Communication. I want to lead you in a prayer. God knows your heart. He knows everything you're going through right now. And I want to lead you in a prayer to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you would like to do that, just repeat this prayer. God knows your heart. And he'll meet you right where you're at. Just say, Lord Jesus, I know I've done many wrong things, and I'm sorry for my sin. I turn from my sin today, and I turn towards you. And I receive you into my life to be my Lord and my leader. Help me to follow you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen.